fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It is hump day. It is Wednesday, December 14th. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Heath Cummings, and we are waiting for Jamie Eisenberg. Hey, follow us on Twitter at Dave Richard, singular, at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings SR, at Adam Azer, AIZER, and at Jamie Eisenberg, JAMEY. I don't give Twitter handles out enough. We need more followers.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, not Dave and Jamie, but
often.
Me and Heath.
Do that every show.
Me and Heath need more followers.
What percentage of year-round podcast listeners already follow us on Twitter, though? That message is more for the newcomers who are trying to get that extra edge to go over the hump into week 16. So follow us. We'll help you. We answer back. We're nice people.
We do answer back, yes. I made a huge mistake this morning. Did about a half hour of research on the, for some reason, on the Seahawks-Rams game last night. Deleted all of it this morning. So I have my Cliff Notes version. But luckily, you guys are the ones that have to do the research and not me. So I think we're in good hands still. This game will be, I think, a lot easier than last week's Thursday night game in terms of starts and sits.
We could do the Thursday night game preview on Wednesday very quickly.
Yeah?
You want to do it?
Nah, let's wait for Jamie. Also, today's going to be awesome because we have so many questions about the rankings. I tried to put a lot of listener emails in the show. We have so many questions about quarterback rankings, and understandably so. It's the most important thing this week. And guess what we're doing? I'm not even going to let you guess. I'm just going to tell you we're playing the feud.
Fantasy feud.
Yeah, round robin style.
I've got something else fun as well. I've got a waiver wire appeal to file with Jamie once he gets in because he's a commissioner in our league. I believe there was something that was handled incorrectly when waivers ran last night.
Really?
So, ooh.
Okay.
Sounds dramatic.
We'll get to that when he gets here.
Looking forward to that. So how about the waiver wire? I actually was able to pick up, I picked up Kenneth Farrow in two leagues. I picked up Martellus Bennett in one league, and he's still available in a PPR league in which I have Zach Ertz and Ladarius Green, so kind of feels like a lateral move. I don't know. But it's just, this is the type of time of year when there are guys who are like 90% owned that are actually available in your leagues. It's a little weird. He's 92% owned in CBSSports.com leagues, and Martellus Bennett was available in two of the three that I'm still in. Anything stand out to you guys?
I got most of what I wanted in my keeper league. I picked up the Falcons defense, dropped the Bengals defense. I picked up Ty Montgomery.
Yep.
I picked up Marquise Lee. I did miss out on Kenneth Farrow, and I'm not that upset about it. I don't know how great he's going to be. There's already talk about Ronnie Hillman coming in to take some of that work away. And as good as he was in Houston, this is interesting. He was never a prolific pass catcher at Houston. The most receptions he had in a season there were 24.
That's actually, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. That is actually not bad if you look at college football running backs, because I've done that. I think Ezekiel Elliott was
around there.
That's
like two per game, Adam.
What?
It's like two per game.
And that's not bad for college running backs. Some of them catch a lot, but most of them, two per game is not bad at all. Like, if you look at, that is a respectable amount of catches, honestly. I've done that research before. It doesn't necessarily translate. Like, Ezekiel Elliott can be a factor in the passing game. He didn't catch a lot of passes at Ohio State.
Right. That's true. You could always say that just because they didn't do it doesn't mean they can't do it. But it didn't look like Kenneth Farrow could pass protect very well.
Didn't he catch like five passes?
He did, but he couldn't pass protect.
Yeah.
And that could cost him valuable playing time.
I was able to get the Houston Texans in one league and Ty Montgomery in another. And I got Farrow in two, I think. And one of them was a very late decision in our IDP league where I played Dave this week. I'd made some requests for receivers because I need some help at receiver this week. I had to add a couple of defensive players, and there's no reason to hold back. Just keep adding players on. And I realized, you know, there's no chance I could start Kenneth Farrow this week. But what if Dave could? So I knew I was ahead of Dave, so I just went ahead and put Farrow.
Yeah, but I'm pretty stacked at running back in that league. Like, my first waiver claim went to pick up Romeo Okwara.
There you go.
About that. So I had, by the way, I also dropped Matt Prater for Nick Novak, and I encourage everybody to try to get a kicker, unless it's a bad kicker. get a kicker that's not going to be, it doesn't have the potential to be affected by weather. You can probably wait till later in the week, but just
when we know what the weather is actually going to be.
Right. But I know that Nick Novak in Houston is going to have better weather than Prater in New York. And I also don't want a kicker on a team that I think might struggle offensively. And I think Detroit might kick, or I said New York, I meant New Jersey, whatever, might struggle offensively. I think the Lions could. So that's, you never
there know. Are three games now that the current forecast, or at least two for sure, indicates may not get out of single digits.
Please don't say the Giants game.
The Giants is not one of them.
Okay, because I can't. Like, I went outside to take out the recycling this morning, and I thought I was going to die.
I think it was Chicago where I
Chicago,
looked.
The temperature at game time might be zero.
Yeah, there's if you look at the hour-by-hour forecast right now, it never gets out of the negatives.
Oh, my gosh.
Those poor souls.
And then in Kansas City, they're saying that it could possibly be one of the coldest games ever at Arrowhead. And it may not get out of single digits.
Wow. The Raiders aren't playing there again, are they?
No, it's just the quarterback that was born in Hawaii.
Oh, that's a good point, because I hate your Mariota rankings this week. I think we'll get into that in a little bit. We have a question about that. But maybe the weather will be a big factor. So let's do the news and notes before Jamie gets in. Then we're going to play the feud. We're going to preview the Thursday night game. We're going to talk about the schedules. Remember earlier in the year, I broke down who had the best remaining schedule and who had some of the worst remaining schedules. And we're going to question if it's even a worthwhile exercise. Some evidence to say yes, some to say no. We do have one team named Tuesday on a Wednesday and all of your emails and tweets and a lot of quarterback stuff. So the news and notes, let's plow through this. Matt Forte is day to day and Melvin Gordon. Do you guys expect Forte or Gordon to play this week?
I like how you were like, Matt Forte is day-to-day and Melvin Gordon.
Well, I didn't have an update on him.
Gordon is week-to-week.
Okay.
So right. I would venture to say the week-to-week means he's probably not going to play this week. And I guess they're keeping the door open for him to return, but I don't know why they would. He's clearly a part of their future. He's a very good player. Why not just sit him down for the rest of the year?
Okay.
If Forte plays, then it hurts Bilal Powell. We talked about this yesterday, but if Forte's out, Bilal Powell, 20 touches against Miami and lots of stats, yummy.
I just want to say, because we haven't mentioned this, I did mention a couple times that Melvin Gordon, Kenneth Farrow got all of the carries by running backs after Gordon's injury, and I have not mentioned that Ronnie Hillman was inactive last week. So it'd be one thing if he were active last week and they're now talking about him getting work. But he was inactive, and now, you know, so things will change.
Cockroach!
JB is here, and he's screaming in the background, talking about Ronnie Hillman, the cockroach. And Mike Pouncey is on IR for the Dolphins.
What is Ronnie Hillman going to do when he finds out that we call him the cockroach?
It's kind of a compliment.
Check his bank account and realize that he
can pay. Hey, well, all right, let's get Jamie's.
All right. I don't think he's got the type of money that you think he's got.
All right.
Does he have more money than you?
I plead the fifth. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Good morning, Jamie.
Hi.
Getting through the notes here. Jerry Jones may have left the door open for Tony Romo. What do you think?
So, like, come into the practice field?
You heard what he said.
Cafeteria to get some chicken.
If Dak stinks again.
If Dak stinks again, then maybe they can.
Week 16, the home game.
Yeah. Well, are you picking him up or what?
No. Only if I have Dak.
Okay. And how about Julio Jones and A.J. Green? Do you think they're going to play this week?
Not as of now.
A.J., let's go.
How do you feel, Adam?
Okay. I have our 10-team, two-quarterback league, PPR. I have Carr and Brady. I have Julio and A.J. Green. They were my first two picks. It's a pretty damn good team. And it's going to be more like Taylor Gabriel and DeSean Jackson instead of Julio and A.J. Green. So
it's good fallbacks.
Not bad. Also, Kenneth Farrell will be starting for me in that league over Mark Ingram. Oakland left guard Kelechi Osemele will play this week. He had kidney stones last week. Have any of you guys had kidney stones?
No.
Thankfully, no. That's one of my biggest fears.
The way to get around that is to drink a lot of water.
Let's knock on wood. Cincinnati waived Mike Nugent. They signed Randy Bullock. Indianapolis cornerback Patrick Robinson is out for the season. Michael Floyd could be benched this week against the Saints. And Dirk Koetter, guys, he is placing Doug Martin's struggles on the offensive line. What does that mean anything to you?
I don't think the offensive line is necessarily going to get better. I do think Cutter's right. I went and looked at Pro Football Focus just to look at his numbers for missed tackles, his numbers for yards after contact. He's been about average in yards after contact. He's right in the same range as like a David Johnson, who just gets a lot of his yards before contact. But even if you look at his missed tackles on a per carry basis, it lines up pretty well with guys like Johnson.
He makes me so nervous this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made you nervous last week, but he came through to a degree.
He didn't make me as nervous last week as going into it as I feel about him this week.
Hey, because remember, Jamie, when we were doing the Thanksgiving games, and I said I was nervous about Alfred Morris because he had been coming off, I think, three straight 20-carry games. And Rob Kelly.
Yep.
And he had been coming off three straight 20-carry games. And I had looked and I had noticed that no running back had gotten to that mark. I don't know the exact number. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but no running back had gotten that many carries against Dallas. Just does not happen.
Right.
Now, I have mentioned that they've lost time of possession three straight games and two Giants running backs got 15 apiece last week. But, you know, you're relying on Doug Martin to get 20 carries this week because that's pretty much the only way he's going to be good, it seems.
Well, he gets
that
score
what would scare you?
He could still score at carry 10.
He could, yeah, he could, but.
But, you know, it's this conversation we had about Frank Gore, I don't know, two, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
That Gore wasn't running well, but he was producing. He's worse than Gore.
Yeah. So, all right, we got time to talk about that. And do you guys expect the following players? Darren Sproles at Baltimore.
Not as of now.
Chris Ivory at Houston.
No.
No.
Theo Riddick, Zach Zenner at the Giants.
0-2.
No Riddick?
He might. I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah, the problem is that the stupid Lions will have him practice all week on a limited basis and make him questionable for the game, and then you've got to wait till Sunday to find out.
Yeah.
And they've done this before with Riddick and other running backs where they practice. Oh, looks like they're going to play. Well, guess what? They're inactive. And you know why? Because they're stupid. Not the players, the coaches.
And finally, Michael Thomas at Arizona.
Can't believe I got that mad over Theo Riddick and Dwayne Washington. As of now, no for Michael One Foot Thomas.
Can I file my appeal now?
Oh, yeah, but wait, hold on. Let me, since this is a rankings call out show, I'm looking at your PPR rankings for TJ Yeldon, and I think you guys are too low. Especially Heath. You have him 36th.
Okay.
Like, I am 1,000,000% going to start TJ Yeldon over Todd Gurley in PPR. Now, to be fair, you guys have them, Dave and Jamie have them very close within two spots, not close for Heath.
Because he caught 7 passes last week.
Well, is Denard Robinson going to play?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm not starting TJ Yeldon.
I don't want to, but I don't want to start Todd Gurley.
I don't want to start Todd Gurley either, but I would rather start Todd Gurley than TJ Yeldon.
When did Chris Ivory start playing? What week was it?
That he started playing?
Yeah, in the season. Start the season when he was dealing
I
with his
say like 5. I can. I've got it right in front of me. Hold
on. His lack of
3 week 3 had 12 carries for 14 yards.
Okay, so Yeldon's first 2 games without Ivory, 12 catches over those 2 games, and then he has 10 in his last 2, with Ivory not being there.
Right.
He's been involved in the pass game. It's hard to and not only just 10 catches in his last 2 games, 16 targets in his last 2 games,
and he had 15 targets in those first 2 games.
Yeah.
Is that better than Gurley's catch numbers when Benny Cunningham hasn't been active? That's pretty similar, right?
Like for the most part, they're a little similar.
I think like the Denver game when Yeldon had 3 for 27, that's Gurley.
I think you could pencil in them both for at least 3 catches.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Yeldon definitely spiked last week, for sure.
I picked up Yeldon in the 2-quarterback PPR league, and so now I have Farrow, Yeldon, Rob Kelly, who's not very good at PPR, and
he's been better.
And Ingram. He dropped a touchdown a couple weeks ago, and what, 2 catches for 20 yards last week or something. So he,
yeah, but that came out on the heels of Jay Gruden said we have to get him more involved.
Okay, yeah, I'll probably stick with Kelly. Man, I should beat Heath. Damn it, with the Julio and the AJ Green. All right, Heath, you can air your gripe now with Commissioner Jamie.
It is now time for the airing of the grievances.
In that 2QB league, I believe that I am the 3 seed and Adam is the 2 seed in that matchup.
Yes.
And so I believe the tiebreaker for the playoffs is the seeding. Like, if we were to tie, he would win because he's the better seed.
I usually do bench points.
Okay, maybe it's bench points.
Oh, no, that's the worst. That's the worst.
He's the 2 seed and I'm the 3 seed. But we both put in a claim for the same player, and he got him before I did.
Because his record is worse.
Because I have a better record. But if he's the 2 and I'm the 3, I feel like I should get the first priority.
No, it's record.
Well, it's divisions. There's 2 divisions in that league.
So why do we have divisions?
Yeah, we can get rid of divisions next year.
Okay.
Are you satisfied?
I'm happy. If we get rid of divisions, I'm fine with that.
Jamie, change the tiebreaker. But bench points is the absolute worst tiebreaker.
No, we can't change the rules in the middle of the season.
You didn't even know the rules until 5 seconds ago.
Not in the middle of the playoffs.
Okay.
No way.
In every matchup you're in, lowest seed wins.
Boom!
Worst record should win.
No.
No, come on.
Area Storms.
Justify bench points.
If you're facing the 1 seed next round, then it's the higher seed wins.
Well, and the most ridiculous thing is you saying, no, the better team should get the tiebreaker. I have a better record than you. The only reason that you are the 2 seed is because we had this stupid division.
No. Record is fine. Record is more important than seed. You can have the tiebreaker because you have a better record. That's fine. But I didn't throw last week's game, but I made a transaction. I dropped the Bengals defense and picked up the Bills. Because I was playing, I knew I had a meeting this week. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. I got killed. All right. NFL on CBS games now available to stream on CBS All Access. You can watch your live local market CBS games on your computer, your tablet, or connected device. This is awesome. This is a chance to watch more football and you can try it free for 1 week. CBS.com/NFL. Not CBSSports.com/NFL. Just CBS.com/NFL. If you want to sit there, watch more games, you got Red Zone on the TV or whatever it is, you go to CBS.com/NFL. 1 week free to watch your local game. Let's play the feud. Here we go. All right, the first round of the feud will be the Cummings family versus the Eisenberg family. Yeah, are you doing theme music there? There it is.
Okay. Wait, which family am I on?
You're not. You're out this round.
You're the music.
I'm the sound effects.
You're the audience.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, you can be the sound. No, I'll be the sound effects. All right. Here's your category. Top 5 quarterbacks this season, 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
Clarification: in season points or in per game?
Season long. Anybody?
Is anybody gonna buzz in? What the hell's going on here? Heath Cummings.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Matt Ryan
is number 2. Jamie, you have a chance to get number 1.
Aaron Rodgers
is number 1. Pass or play?
Play.
Okay. The Eisenberg family is on the clock.
Good job, Dave.
That was the audience.
What am I trying to get? Top 5?
Top 5 quarterbacks.
I know this because I did it because you started the week last night. So Kirk Cousins.
False.
Wrong.
I'll double check now, but that's not
Kirk
what
Cousins
I saw.
Is number 5, buddy.
No, he's number 6, buddy.
No, he's number 5.
I'm looking.
Oh wow!
I bet this you and I are looking at slightly different things. Are you looking at a league? Are you looking at a league, Jamie?
I'm looking at his fantasy points.
Through what?
Through the season.
I know, but what page are you looking at?
I'm looking at the top 5 quarterbacks in front of me.
Hold on, Dave.
Wait,
please
you're
stop.
Looking at the top 5 quarterbacks?
Well, now I am.
Fair game.
Now I am because he's cheating.
Hold on. Dave, please stop with the music. I need to clarify something. On our stats page, if you go to CBSSports.com/fantasy and you go to our stats page, hold on.
You want us to go there and run the game?
Just hang on. If you look at that page, the calculations for the fantasy points are slightly different than what they would be in a league because you know how like you would get some points. If a quarterback throws for 251 yards.
Worst game ever. Whatever. It's semantics. Okay, good. Move on. Next
He's
point.
Number 6. He's number 6.
Okay, but I've already seen the top 5 because I went to look.
Okay, great. So you said Cousins. I'm giving you an X for that. And the round 1 of Fantasy Feud is completely ruined. So
it clearly goes to me.
Yeah, Heath is the winner.
I get a chance to steal.
Yeah, go ahead, Heath. Try to steal it.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is number three. Congratulations,
yes!
You stole it.
That was the most unfair game ever.
Two players are actually tied for fourth. Andrew Luck and Marcus Mariota have one more fantasy point than Kirk Cousins. And I wanted to bring up Mariota, the number four quarterback in fantasy, and you guys have him ranked pretty low this week, outside the top 12, I believe, for all three of you. And I'm wondering why.
He's playing at Kansas City. They've been good against quarterbacks. Mariota had a really terrible game last week at home against Denver.
Oh, shocker.
It's another tough matchup for him, and I don't feel as if he can be trusted.
I think, well, the weather does make it interesting, but he's 21st for Jamie, 17th for Dave, and 16th for Heath. And listen, guys, you cannot hold a bad game against Denver against anyone.
I agree with that.
And Mariota, before that game, had 8 straight weeks with 20 or more fantasy points, 4 of them with 30 or more fantasy points, 6 of them with 25 or more fantasy points.
I get what you're saying, and I don't think the Chiefs are anywhere close to the Broncos in terms of their ability to limit quarterbacks, even at home. But just looking at my rankings, are you playing Mariota over Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Are you playing him over Cam?
I would say if the weather were fine, I'd play him over both of them for sure.
But it's not. Are you playing
him over? Yeah, I'm playing him over Cam. What the heck do I want Cam for? He's done nothing.
Okay. Brady?
Yeah, I'm playing him over Brady.
Okay.
Oof. Wow. Man. Do you want to change out Flacco for Mariota in our bet? Are you starting Mariota over Flacco?
Again, I want to say, can I wait for the weather?
Sure.
Now he wants to lose on purpose so he can sing.
No.
But then he can't play the guitar. How about this? There's only been one quarterback in the Chiefs' last 5 that's thrown more than one touchdown pass against them, coinciding with the return, basically, of Justin Houston.
Well, Trevor Siemian was that quarterback. He had 34 fantasy points. And
I think Bortles had over 20.
Bortles had 25.
One quarterback in the last 5 has multiple passing touchdowns against Kansas City.
Just said it.
That's true.
exactly what he just said.
Yeah, it is. Jamie's just cheating.
I know.
About everything right now. All right, next round will be the Richard family and the Eisenberg family. Here we go. Your category. Top 3 running backs over the last 3 weeks in standard scoring leagues. 3 games, including buys. So the last 3 games, your top 3 running backs.
Top 3 answers on the board.
No, oh, sorry. Top 5.
Top 5.
I'm buzzing in.
Oh, Dave, go.
Le'Veon Bell.
He's number 1, pass or play?
Pass.
Ooh. Last 3 weeks?
Last 3 games.
Last 3 games?
Top 5 running backs in their last 3 games.
I missed this.
LeSean McCoy.
Number 2.
Ooh.
I got to get all 5?
Yeah.
3 more.
This is such good podcast.
Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray is number 4.
Spencer Ware.
No.
I thought the Atlanta game. Devontae Freeman. No?
No.
Zeke?
And I say that with like a surprising buzzer there because I would have gone with Zeke too. What's all right, Dave, 2 answers sound? Are on the board.
Wait, what's the normal buzzer sound like? And the surprise buzzer? All right.
So we have
Johnson.
Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy, Latavius Murray good. Off the board.
David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals.
David Johnson is correct.
Yes!
Tied for 2nd.
I'm doing the Drew Stanton dance.
And there's one more. Care to guess? 5th.
Oh, my God. The pressure.
The last one.
He had a 3-touchdown game.
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard. And he's the one I want to talk about. Are you worried about them getting blown out and him having disappointing numbers this week?
Decidedly no.
Yeah. Not in that weather.
It's going to be too cold for anybody
not in that
to
weather.
Do anything yeah, offensive. Just run the ball.
Ty Montgomery versus Jordan Howard.
So you're sitting Aaron Rodgers?
No, he's my number 2 quarterback.
Okay. All right, next round, last round. This is Heath and Dave, the Cummings family and the Richard family. The cheating Eisenberg family is eliminated from Fantasy Feud.
Wow.
The top 5 running backs this season in PPR leagues, all season long, not per week, other than Bell, Johnson, and Elliott.
Wait a minute.
So four through nine.
Four through nine. PPR running backs. Go.
Wait a minute. You took out Bell, Johnson, and Elliott?
Yeah.
I hit it first.
Okay, Heath.
Theo Riddick.
Dude, nice work. He's fifth on this list, so he's eighth. Four through eight.
So Dave gets a chance to get one better.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy is number two. Pass or play?
Pass. That's my strategy.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, I really just do it to watch Jamie squirm.
Okay.
Now I'm going to do it to watch you squirm.
All right. DeMarco Murray.
Yep, he's number four. He's number one on this list, number four overall.
So I've got one, two, and four. Three and five are what are left?
You have one, two, and five. Three and four are left. We're looking at the top five running backs in PPR leagues other than Bell, Johnson, and Elliott.
Carlos Hyde?
Sorry, we have Murray, McCoy, and Riddick. Carlos Hyde is wrong.
Man.
I'm laying back in the cut.
Yeah, laying back in the cut?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's getting ready for his rap song this week.
Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to miss the obvious one. I'll say Jordan Howard.
No.
So I got one guess left.
And Dave has a steal. It's not over if you don't get this.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know, but Dave knows the answer right now.
Jamie told him?
No.
Give
me some credit, Adam.
Is it Devontae Freeman?
All right, the Richard family has a chance to steal. Talk it over, family.
We're huddling.
Okay.
We remember that Heath didn't like this running back, and Chris didn't like this running back for much of the year, and he still came through until last week when he hurt his hip. Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon is number three on this list, number six.
Yeah!
Is it game over?
Yes.
What did you call me before you went to these two families?
Cheating Jamie Eisenberg? I don't know.
All right. Write down the time on the podcast.
Why?
I know what's coming.
Write it down.
Okay.
Got it?
Okay.
You little bleeping, mother bleeping.
I like how you're like our article.
Wow.
You're like the Randy Orton article on our website where you selectively choose.
No,
like
I want it to be bleep, then I say bleep, then he has to bleep it out.
Well, that sucked. The other one on the list, by the way, was.
This is what has happened to Fantasy Feud. It's turned into a real feud.
The thing that I like the most about this is that was pretty loud. And like the office that we sit next to where we hear somebody talking on the phone and who that is. That's the part I enjoy the most.
Oh, you're right next to HR. You should just say it.
Yeah.
You're right next to HR. You can hear everything. Let's go to Los Angeles at Seattle. After we do Team Name Tuesday on a Wednesday from Tim from PDX. I don't know where that is. Do you?
It's Portland.
Oh, okay. Dear Marion, John, and Dan.
Marion, John, and Dan.
The three losingest coaches of all time by winning percentage, minimum 100 games coached.
I thought somebody had a barber named John.
There's no Jeff in there?
Not by winning percentage, apparently. Here is the team name from Tim. Me and Melvin Gordon got eliminated by Le'Veon Bell last week, so I changed my team name to Slayed by the Bell.
Okay, clever.
Yeah, it's good. Good for you.
Clever.
If you are Slayed by the Bell, if your team is eliminated, or even if you just want to play a little bit more fantasy football, please try Draft. Really, really into it now. I think I'm going to do some listener contests, waiting to get final word on that, but I'm going to try to compete against all of you and beat you in a draft contest. So download Draft and use our promo code FF today. Search Draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. And use that promo code FF today. And when you do, you'll get a 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, it's FF today. And Draft is the app. You can play for free or you can play for money. And your chances of winning money on Draft are almost three times better than they are on FanDuel or DraftKings. I didn't even play FanDuel or DraftKings last week because I played a bunch of draft contests and I really enjoyed them because you get to do a snake draft. You get to have players that nobody else in your contest is going to have. You can compete against anywhere from 1 to 10 players. You can create your own leagues. It's really, really cool, so just give it a shot. Again, download Draft right now. It's very easy, doesn't take much time, and very, very fun. You have to do a little research. If you're going to do a 10-person league and 60 people or 50 players are getting drafted, rather, You're going to have to find maybe some gems. So it's not just a piece of cake. Can't just go with studs all the time. It's a different challenge. That's Draft in the App Store. LA and Seattle. The first meeting was a 9-3 game. That is disgusting. So again, I deleted all my notes about this game, but the Cliff Notes, I would say are Rawls great, Gurley bad.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like bad Gurley or just what Gurley has been.
Well,
I mean, the game flow, game script, if the Seahawks score, which they should, will be bad for Gurley, just because whenever they've been a 2-touchdown deficit, his numbers haven't been great.
Well,
and it happened against the Patriots.
Last week they were, though.
What do you mean last week?
Last week he had 8 fantasy points like he always does.
No, then 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, sorry. When he scored the touchdown. They've been blown out 3 games in a row. And
right.
He scored a touchdown in one of them.
He scored 14 fantasy points.
Okay, it was last week then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last week he scored. I'm thinking more of the Patriots game.
Blown out at the Saints, at the Patriots, and against the Falcons at home, and he scored 8, 3, and 14 fantasy points in those games. Gurley had 4, 2, and 3 catches in those games.
I'm going to expect Todd Gurley to score 8 fantasy points.
Yeah, I'm not starting that. You're losing. That's loser talk right there.
That's loser talk right there.
You don't start that. Like, you're a playoff team. You don't start at 8 fantasy points.
I don't believe T.J. Yeldon's going to score 8 fantasy points.
In PPR, he absolutely. In PPR, he will outscore Gurley.
Let's make a bet.
Well, let's put it this way. Most likely, you have not gotten to your Week 15 playoff matchup with Todd Gurley being the key contributor on your team. So you've either drafted really well around him, and you've probably been playing matchups with him, or you got lucky.
So, Kenneth Farrow or Todd Gurley?
It's a risk either way.
Right.
Because you don't know what Farrow's going to do.
Farrow's got the much better matchup.
He does, but Ronnie Hillman could also come in and take away 50, 60, 70% of the workload.
It's so hard for me to say to sit that guy when I know that Todd Gurley is like 7 fantasy points.
This is a great situational discussion of workload versus matchup. Because Gurley's getting all the work. There's no question about that.
Right. But Jamie.
Farrow, you don't know. Farrow could get all the work?
Here's the problem. 13 carries, 11 carries, and 16 carries in his last 3 games for Gurley. When they've gotten blown out, he hasn't gotten 20 carries. So it's not even that much work.
The only thing I think that keeps me somewhat interested in Gurley this week is he ran his mouth the most, or he was the most vocal about the Jeff Fisher offense, calling it a middle school offense. It's a national TV game. I know it's clearly not the ideal situation because it's a short week with a new coach. But he's got to step up and play his best game of the season.
Well, he should, but so does his offensive line. And that's been a huge part of the problem. And his quarterback has also been part
100%
of the problem.
Correct. But he's got to do something extraordinary. Can he?
No. No, he can't.
What does the history here do for you guys? The fact that the Rams have won at least 3 in a row in this meeting.
I think they've won 4 out of 5.
They keep it close.
It's the genius of Jeff Fisher.
They don't have that anymore, though.
I know.
But the thing that's nice about this matchup from the Rams side of things is the one thing that you have to do to Seattle, Pete Prisco talks about this all the time, you have to punch them in the mouth. And the Rams do that continually every time they face each other because that defensive line pushes around that offensive line when they were good.
Mm-hmm. So does that make you nervous about Thomas Rawls at all?
Nope. Not necessarily, just because I think we've seen Seattle, the Rams on the road enough to know that they get worn down. Not necessarily in this game, but short week.
Yeah.
And we saw it 2 games ago with the Seahawks coming off of a loss, going back home, an embarrassing loss to Tampa Bay. They go back home and they
rob Carolina.
Okay. Let me give you guys, some names here. Start with, Gurley. Todd Gurley or Tevin Coleman?
Coleman.
Todd Gurley or LeGarrette Blount?
Blount.
Now let's go to Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls or Bilal Powell?
Rawls.
Thomas Rawls or LeGarrette Blount?
Rawls.
I think I have Blount ranked higher.
Rockin' Rawls.
So you guys really like Rawls. I think he's top 10 for you guys. And no, Thomas Rawls or Doug Baldwin?
Rawls.
Rawls.
I think Baldwin, you know, I understand why you guys have him ranked in your top 24 and Heath has him top 10. This guy has really not had a good season and has not done anything to justify it. He has had four good games this year. One of them had a passing touchdown. He did have 100 receiving yards in that game. Three of the four games that have been good for Baldwin have been at home. So that's a nice thing. But he, you know, he was one of my favorites and I feel like I was wrong on him. He just hasn't been good.
This is a terrible week, Adam. We were talking about yesterday, and there's like not even 12 number one wide receivers. There's certainly not 24 top 24 wide receivers this week.
But Doug Baldwin is one of them? A guy who has 13 fantasy points in his last three games combined?
The nice thing about it is that the targets have still been there for him. So at some point, there's going to be some carryover from that. And I think the Rams secondary is a mess.
Right.
I feel like you guys might be a little low on Kenny Britt. He's been pretty consistent, and the Seahawks' pass defense is not what it used to be.
He's had a minimum of 8 fantasy points in 5 of his last 6, 10 or more fantasy points in 4 of his last 6. And theoretically, he should be able to get there again just because the Rams will be playing from behind. And eventually, you know, when it's the fourth quarter, the Seahawks defense might not be as interested, or it could be the backups on the field.
I don't know. I mean, they could be playing for a shutout.
I don't feel great about Brett.
Yeah, I can't trust him. Again, short week. We've seen it enough from
who
Seattle.
Who gets more fantasy points between him and Gurley?
I feel more comfortable with Gurley.
Yeah. I'd go the other way. I think Brett's got a better chance.
Well, he's not even in the top 40, if I recall, for you guys.
Yeah, no. I mean... The best thing you could do, honestly, is avoid the Rams.
I understand. Sure. Seahawks DST, are they number one this week?
Yep.
Okay. Jimmy Graham, good at home, bad on the road. Is that going to continue?
Yeah, I mean, you're not benching Jimmy Graham. I can't think. I wouldn't bench him for Brate. I wouldn't bench him for Ladarius. You know, if you picked up Graham or drafted him late, you know, in, you know, tandem with...
I'm not sure I'd bench him for anybody this
Olsen
week.
Olsen or Reed or right. Eifert. I mean, I guess Eifert would be one that you may have those two guys. I like Eifert better, but Graham is still right there.
Okay. And that's pretty much... Oh, Russell Wilson. Pretty bad history against the Rams. The Rams actually don't have that many sacks, which is kind of interesting. And I don't have much else to say. You tell me how you feel about Russell Wilson.
I mean, not just pretty bad history against the Rams, but pretty bad history in 2016.
Yeah.
You talked about Doug Baldwin not having a good year and not earning it.
Might be a reason why.
Wilson's had an awful year, and maybe it was all injuries in the first half, and it's been all something else for the last month, but he basically had 2 or 3 good games the entire year. And so I've got him as a borderline number one. I really struggle with him in the Ben and Brady area.
I like him better than both.
Me too.
Like, a Brady struggling game is basically what Wilson's given you all year.
Yeah, but this just feels like it's a Seattle blowout.
Yeah, and you would take Wilson in such a situation.
Okay.
Like, I think he's got a pretty good chance of getting you a safe 20 fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Heath, you said you're struggling with him, with Wilson versus Brady and who?
Roethlisberger.
And... Dave and Jamie said they would take Wilson over both of those guys.
Yes.
Would you guys rather have Russell Wilson or Carson Palmer this week?
Wilson.
That's right in that same area.
Wilson, but it's close.
Man, I'm going to talk myself back out of him. I've moved him up and down like 3 times already, and it's freaking Wednesday. But I guess that's his game's tomorrow, so I've got to make a decision pretty quick. I'm going to say Palmer.
Russell Wilson or Drew Brees this week?
Brees.
We got Brees one spot higher.
Okay.
Right. I actually have Wilson a spot higher than Brees. I shouldn't say that.
You have Wilson ahead?
I think I do.
No, you. Not, well, I don't know. What I'm looking at is you have Brees one spot ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
And you have Luck ahead. So, you know, you guys haven't really made huge adjustments to Luck and Brees. They're top 6 guys, except Heath has Brees 10th. And
I think what? Dave and I were talking about Brees this morning, and I think a lot of it is our Unger and Thomas back. Because I'm kind of ranking him as if we would rank Unger and Thomas. They didn't play, they haven't practiced, so we're not ranking them. If those two aren't playing, it's so tough to play Brees in this spot.
No Tyon Banch, no Deion Buchanan. That's 2 huge losses for that defense. If Matthew doesn't play, that's still going to be a problem for that team.
And it's not – Breeze, his final stat line was atrocious, but he had two touchdowns dropped last week.
Yep. Yeah. They're not going to run on them. He's going to be throwing 50 times.
Right. It's hard to run on them in Arizona. It's hard to run on them anywhere, but I think still now only one running back has scored a rushing touchdown in Arizona, and that was week one, LeGarrette Blount. Oh, unless something changed during their last home game. I don't think so. Okay, so let's get into the emails and tweets and talk about a lot of quarterback rankings. And I want to say a note to our emailers at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Don't forget about the greetings. We like the greetings. I haven't been reading as many, I think, which is my bad, but it's kind of our thing, you know? It's our identity. So, you know, the dear blank, 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 and blank, or whatever the heck you're going to do. I like them. They're fun. Here's Greg Davis on Twitter. I'm extremely confused by how high Andrew Luck is ranked. I was considering Carson Palmer over Luck this week. Please explain, analysts.
It's almost the same thing as Drew Brees. We've got a very good quarterback in a situation where he's going to have to throw a lot. And I'll always trust Luck to come through if he's attempting 45 passes.
Why do you think he's going to have to throw a lot? Because we said this on the show yesterday, and I don't really get that. The Vikings give up more than 4 yards per carry. If they have a weakness, it's their run defense, not their pass defense. One quarterback has scored more than 19 fantasy points. It was Kirk Cousins. He had 22 fantasy points against the Vikings.
If the Colts have a deficiency on offense, it's their run offense. So it's not like they're all
and their offensive line, and yeah, this works against Luck as much as it does against the run game. Muhort. Is that Jack Muhort being out is a big strike.
I've been fighting the urge to downgrade Luck all week. I think I'm already the lowest on him, and I keep wanting to move him lower. He's basically played two games against defenses that are anywhere close to as good as the Vikings. Against Denver, he had 197 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Against Kansas City, he had 210, two touchdowns and a pick.
So moderate stats, nothing popping.
11 fantasy points at Denver and 22 fantasy points against Kansas City.
He ran for 60 too. Yards.
Right, and he might not have Moncrief.
He's not
going to have Moncrief. So I picked up Carson Palmer in my Luck League, the one that I still have Luck in and that I'm still alive in, and I'm debating it. I mean, you guys have Luck ahead, but I don't know, man. I just don't get it. Like, even if he is going to throw, they're amazing against quarterbacks.
I think you're making good points.
Okay.
We might be too high on Andrew Luck.
Okay. Next question.
But that's
Connor.
The thing, though. Just to, you know, compare him to Palmer. What has Palmer done to make you feel comfortable with him?
He did a lot, actually. In fact, in the previous two games, he had two good games. I don't remember who it was, Atlanta and one other team. And then he struggled in horrible conditions in Miami. And no, I don't feel that good about him. But
that's the thing. It's like, again, it's like talking about Gurley versus Farrell. Do you feel more comfortable about the guy that you've seen do it before, or seen do it this year, versus the guy who's been awful?
It is not the same, though, because Gurley has not done it this. It's not the same because we haven't seen anything from Farrow, and Gurley's been horrible.
But that's probably not the best analogy. But, you know, just in terms of
sure,
Luck, you know, has gotten you pretty consistent fantasy production. Now, the two games Heath mentioned clearly are an example of him not getting the job done. Whereas Palmer's had some great matchups along the way and pooped all over himself
in some
yes.
of them.
Well, the 49ers game at home is the one that comes to mind for sure.
Yeah. I understand. Well, I haven't made the decision yet. You know, I'm probably going to be sitting on that one until Sunday morning. Yep. Connor wants to know, and where's Connor from?
Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
Would you start Tyrod Taylor or Andrew Luck?
You see, this is another one because Taylor should be great, but yeah, weather could be a bad factor for him at home in Buffalo. And what happens if the Bills just run all over Cleveland?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I've got Taylor one spot behind Luck right now.
Whew.
the problem is like there's no one that ascends above these guys.
The one that I really struggle with, and it's two quarterbacks in the same game, it's Jameis and Dak.
Like, I don't really like either of them.
What does that game look like?
That's a good question. That is a total toss-up game. In terms of the fantasy, you know, I think Dallas right. should win, but
because the Bucks have proven they want to be conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Dallas want to be? Conservative.
Now they do. Past 2 weeks have proven it.
Yeah. That should be a good game. So everybody's saying Luck over Tyrod for now. And I should say that a lot of teams have run all over Cleveland and still gotten 20 fantasy points or more from their quarterback. Only two quarterbacks haven't done that, Fitzpatrick and Roethlisberger against Cleveland in the terrible weather.
Correct.
The weather will probably make that decision for me right now. It doesn't look like it's going to be fantastic in Buffalo. If it's fine, I probably will move Tyrod ahead of Luck.
Does it feel like Tyrod's going to have to get his numbers in the first 2.5 quarters like Andy Dalton did in order for him to come through?
I don't know that I'm ready to say that the Bills are definitely going to blow anybody out.
Right. Sure.
Okay, guys, next up we've got DJ Obi, Kaepernick and Luck in two leagues. Who should I go with?
Also say Luck.
I would say Luck for sure. But I could absolutely understand the argument that Kaepernick has more upside.
His ceiling's higher this week. The thing about Kaepernick, which unfortunately hurt him last week, was that they got off to a great start running
right.
the ball.
This is the worry that people might have with Tyrod Taylor this week.
Well, I think with Kaepernick just going against the Falcons are going to score on the 49ers and probably early and probably often. And so Kaepernick's been at his best when he's been chasing points.
Sure.
It's just a matter of where is he getting production from? Down McDonald, down Torrey Smith. They're still going to try and run. And you have the West Coast, East Coast for 1 o'clock start. So there's some things working against Kaepernick, but this is the scenario where we liked him was chasing points, running.
Yeah.
Maybe, to Dave's point, disinterested defense at the end of the game.
All right. Make the decision. Kaepernick or Luck?
Luck.
I'd still go Luck, but when I originally did my rankings, I think I had Kaepernick like my top five.
Yeah. Falcons give up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, but I think they're getting better lately.
Yeah, you lose your font, you get better.
Yeah, weird. Joshua Stakrocki. Should I start Derek Carr over Tom Brady this week?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's easy. Should I start
I'm planning on doing exactly that.
Jeff is actually the only White Sox fan left in Chicago. Oh, how about that?
Well,
dear Adam and
that's not true.
Is it, Dave?
It is 100% not true. I have many friends. There are at least six other White Sox fans in Chicago right now.
Even after the fire sale?
Even at the fire sale, I think, made some of the fans excited.
Yeah, probably.
And it wasn't really the Chris Sale trade. It was the Adam Eaton trade.
Fire sale. That was a pretty good play on words there by yours.
By the way, Chris Sale's fantasy team is in the final four of his league, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Have you been helping him?
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything.
All right, here's the question from Jeff. Dear Adam and some wonderful combination, should I start Dak Prescott over Tom Brady in a 4 point per passing touchdown league?
I'm doing it.
I'm not.
Man, I'm telling you, it's so funny because all year long, I feel like Heath has been the one who cares less about the matchups compared to David Jamie. And now this week, David Jamie don't seem to care about the quarterback matchups.
It's did pretty well against them last year.
He played one good game against them and one terrible game, and he had Gronkowski.
But he didn't have Malcolm Mitchell.
They did not have Malcolm.
There we go.
Okay.
Look, it's risky. It's not really so much about his matchup. It's about I just don't trust Dak Prescott right now.
Yeah, and I do trust Tom Brady.
Now, Jeff's other question was, should I start Tyrod Taylor over Brady in a 6 point per passing touchdown league?
I'm doing that too.
What was the question?
Taylor over Brady. Yes, I agree with that. You know, the one guy who just really I want to move up higher is Flacco. His scenario is just so perfect.
Yeah.
He just is not trustworthy. That's the problem.
This one is from Dick Berg. Brady, Rivers, or Dak?
I would go with Rivers at home against the Raiders.
I'm going with Rivers at home against the Raiders.
Rivers makes the most sense.
And Breeze or Flacco?
I'm going Breeze.
Same.
Breeze, but it's close.
This is from Ian. Flacco or Dacko this week?
I'm going Dacko.
I am with you on the Dacko.
Who is it?
Flacco or Dacko?
Flacco.
Wait, okay, because I changed his name from Dak to Dacko, now I'm confused. So Flacco or Dak Prescott? Heath?
Prescott.
Dave?
Flacco or Prescott, you asked?
Same question. I just don't call him Dacko.
Dacko.
Prescott. And Jamie, your answer was Flacco?
Yeah, Flacco, not close.
Not close. Okay, Steven Z from a city in southwest Pennsylvania. Brady And, oh, he has Brady and the Denver DST. How do you guys feel about that?
Not great. Almost as bad as if I had been carried by Julio Jones and AJ Green to semifinals and had to worry about both of them.
Well, do you care about the quarterback versus DST thing?
Yeah, when you've got both on your team.
There's no way both are playing well this week.
Right.
Because so Brady does not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get sacked. And so where is the Broncos going to get their numbers from?
Try to get the Bills or the Texans.
Yes.
And if you can't get them, get the Falcons.
Or the Dolphins. Or the
Dolphins or the Giants.
Well, what's the play? Is the play getting away from the Broncos DST or starting the Broncos DST and getting away from Brady?
You only do that if you're convinced that Tom Brady's going to stink. And if you can find a quarterback that you'd be comfortable using in place of Brady. And in some leagues, the best guy out there on the waiver wire could be Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, and you're just not going to do that. So it's easier to replace the DST.
Yeah, especially this week. It's a great week for DSTs. And you make a great point. Brady just doesn't turn the ball over. So it's.
How do you feel about the Broncos DST at Kansas City next week?
It's fine.
Tremendous.
Much better than this week.
Much better than this. So so you're not cutting the Broncos DST. Oh, you're benching the Broncos.
I would probably cut him.
I'd cut him.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. If you like that matchup next week, then you want to hang on to him. If you think you can do better than that matchup, let him go and let somebody else have the Broncos.
I think it'll be kind of inconsequential. They're going to be in the top 10, but not a must have. And you can probably get them back. It's just going to be you and one other person.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, Dak Prescott, 3 straight games with 1 passing touchdown. I do want to go back to Dak here because Jamie is not very confident in him. In those 3 games with 1 passing touchdown, 3 in a row, he scored 22 fantasy points against Washington, 12 fantasy points at Minnesota on 18 pass attempts. And I really think that was a good game for him. He threw 18 passes and he could have had 18 fantasy points if Dez Bryant rolls into the end zone instead of getting stopped at the 1-yard line. And then he was terrible at the Giants. The ball was slick. That's what they said about Eli Manning. The same thing for Prescott. He played poorly. Giants defense played really well. So can you make a case that he's going to bounce back against the Buccaneers, who have been very good against quarterbacks lately, by the way?
Yeah, how'd Russell Wilson do against the Bucs?
No, but Russell Wilson got sacked 5 times. He was on the ground the entire game, and we don't expect that to happen to Dak Prescott.
Well, I mean, Dak Prescott was under a lot of duress last week against the Giants, and this defensive line might be better.
You think it's going to happen?
I think he's just struggling right now. And this defense, Mike Smith, if he's not the best defense coordinator in the NFL right now, I'm not sure you can find somebody you can't find 5 guys that are better.
The only distinction I would make is Dak played awful last week. Yeah. He didn't, I don't really think Dak played bad against Minnesota. He only threw the ball 18 times. He completed 67% of his passes.
But that's what they want to be. I mean, and look what Tampa Bay has done. These two teams mirror each other very much. They want to dominate mm-hmm. time of possession.
Yep.
They want to keep their defense off the field. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, at this point, both these teams, it's just win. You know, however you get it done, just win. And so I just don't know if it's not going to be a like we saw Dak against the Steelers, chasing points, having to make all these plays. It's not going to be that type of game. And the same thing for Jameis.
I agree it's going to be a low-scoring game. I just think New England at Denver is too.
But it's,
agreed.
I mean, but Dak Prescott, this is like, kind of feel like the same argument I made for Mariota. Before that game, Prescott, it was like 8 good weeks in a row, basically.
But you're not going based on what happened 8 weeks ago. You're going on what's happening now.
I'm not going to look at Minnesota and at the Giants, 2 very, very difficult, like 2 of the 4 best, 3 best teams against quarterbacks in fantasy. And
okay, but that's over the course of the season. Tampa Bay has turned the quarter dramatically.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Since week 10.
I get that argument. I just don't, yeah, that's fine, totally valid.
And the one thing about, I mean, just to say it, what if Dak has a bad first half?
You're right.
Do they bench him?
Valid. It could happen. To veer off a little bit as a Giants fan, I want Dak to do well enough because I actually fear them more if they have Tony Romo.
Of course.
How was Rivers against them a couple weeks ago?
Who, Buccaneers? Not good.
He was good. The only reason I ask is
he was not good. He was 225, 2-2. He finished with 18 fantasy points.
Yeah,
I can see Dak there.
Right. 18 might be top 6 this week.
Or it could be bottom 5. I mean, you never know.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be bottom 5.
All right, next question here is from Emmanuel Morales. Is Alfred Morris worth a spot thinking that Ezekiel Elliott might get benched?
Not benched for bad play, but benched because the Cowboys have home field advantage wrapped up.
McFadden's back, right?
I would have said that before McFadden came back, because now it'll be a mess.
Right. Yep. I don't know how much of a mess it'll be.
I'm still holding on to Alfred Morris if I have Zeke.
How much do they run Darren McFadden if it's week 17? It's possible they give him some work.
Guys, let's see if we can go a little quicker here. Sorry. I think this will actually help us get through tomorrow's show, since we knock out a lot of rankings here. This is from BP. Where's BP from?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Wants to know why Dave and Jamie have Larry Fitzgerald outside of their top 24 in PPR.
I don't.
You don't? Yeah, I was going to double check on that.
I do.
You have him 23rd. Dave has him 37th. Heath has him 12th.
He stinks.
In PPR leagues, he's been a pretty consistent number two.
Right.
Even he hasn't scored a touchdown since week five, which is kind of ridiculous. But over that time frame, even without a touchdown the whole time, he has two or three weeks where he was really bad. He has two or three weeks where he was a number one PPR wide receiver. And then he's got a bunch of weeks as a number two.
His last four games where his targets have started to turn south, 12, 9, 17, 4.
And that four was in basically a monsoon.
And, right, sure. But he still had nine targets in the game.
I got another good one for you on Larry. This is my favorite Larry Fitzgerald stat. We are talking about PPR, but in case you have him in a standard scoring league, since week three, so since the first two games of the season when he was very good, how many times do you think Larry Fitzgerald has finished as a top 24 wide receiver since week three?
Twice.
Correct. In standard, twice. So, Heath, you still have him as top 24 in standard. Is that because of the Saints?
Part of it's because of the Saints. Part of it's because I just don't believe that Larry Fitzgerald's going to go the rest of the year without a touchdown.
Okay.
But is this the week he gets the touchdown?
It's so funny.
Against the Saints would be my guess.
How exactly similar his year is from last year to this year.
I know.
Except last year, unfortunately, for the Cardinals, other guys stepped up.
Was it week 15 when he finally scored a touchdown? No, it was 16 and 17 last year. But hopefully it's 1 week earlier this year.
And then the playoffs, which is not going to
happen. I think in PPR he's fine.
Here's a question from Brian. One win away from going to the championship. Who do I start at my flex, Bilal Powell or Sammy Watkins?
Sammy.
Well, Forte's out, it's Powell. It's not
close. Yeah, I agree.
Not close. From Addison, Jonathan Stewart or Spencer Ware?
They both make me nervous.
I'd go Stewart, standard, Ware, PPR.
Sure.
Do you think that Sharkandrick West is going to get a bigger role?
If Ware's rushing average has been terrible, right? This is like 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Ware's garbage.
Maybe he's got one good game in there.
It's like, where did all his good production go?
Where have all the rushing yards gone?
Sharkandrick West is not good, though.
Neither Spencer Ware at this point.
Yeah. But I think they would take 3.0 from Sharkandrick West compared to the 2.6 from Spencer Ware.
Okay. So Ware's PPR, Stewart standard. And let's
maybe Tyreek Hill starts getting more carries.
Let's finish with this. Ryan from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I write you this email with Canada's most divisive fantasy playoff conundrum that could see a great league collapse. 10-team league, and we are in the semifinals. Today, the Bengals cut Mike Nugent, and he is on a GM squad who happens to be in the semifinals. That GM also, let's say owner, I guess they could say GM in Canada. That owner also happens to have already reached the 30-move transaction cap for the year. The owner asked the commissioner for an exemption on the rule. The commissioner put it to vote and it passed 5-4, but drew a lot of anger and debate in the process. Obviously, the other three GMs in the semis are livid and there is no consolation round. So, should he be allowed to go over the 30 transaction limit to get a kicker because Mike Nugent got cut and the league voted 5-4 in favor? What say you guys?
I think everything is above board. The one thing I disagree with is that the commissioner even put it to a vote. But the fact that he did it and he made the decision to do it, he basically put the power in the hands of the other owners in the league, and they voted for it.
Ryan.
There's nothing the other three owners can do. This is the commissioner's decision to do it. Personally, I think if there's a transaction limit in your league and you hit the limit, guess what? No more transactions.
Yeah.
But the commissioner went a different route with it. And I think it's still fair the way that it ended up.
Ryan, this is, to turn this on, put the headphone in your commissioner's ear. why in the hell is there a 30-move transaction cap for the year if somebody's going to get into the playoffs and then say, I'm sorry, I used all mine, can I please have one more, and you're going to put it to a vote? It's a stupid rule to have a transaction cap in the first place, but if you're going to have it, at least enforce it. And if you're going to have a vote, why in the hell are we giving a vote to six teams that aren't even playing anymore this year? You're not allowing them to pick up anybody.
So what do you think should happen here?
They don't get a vote.
What do you think should happen? They've already done the vote. What now?
Go back and say, I'm sorry, we're actually going to follow the rules this year.
So you say
no exception. And don't give a vote to people that aren't playing anymore.
Jamie, what do you think?
I think it's fine that they put it to a vote.
Okay. So I think I'm not even going to vote because I want a majority here. That's 2-1. Say, let it stay the way it is. And, the Mike Nugent owner gets a new kicker.
It's a bad job, Commissioner.
I think the owner,
the opponent playing the guy who had Mike Nugent should pick his kicker. So he gets a kicker.
No.
But it should be the opponent who gets
you kicker. Have a transaction cap for a reason.
Listen, I agree with you on this, but I also don't have a problem with the commissioner putting it to a vote and letting the league vote. Even the teams that
the
are
the five
out
people that voted yes are not playing.
Probably.
No, that's, I mean, that's true.
How about this?
The
How
five
about this?
People that voted yes
How about
are not
this
playing.
Is a solution, Heath. Every team gets one more transaction.
No, six teams aren't even playing anymore.
All the playoff teams that are left get
They
one
don't
more
need
transaction.
It, though. Maybe they're way under the cap.
They put it to a vote. Everybody voted yes.
No, not everybody voted yes. Only the teams that were eliminated voted yes. That's the problem.
Too bad.
Okay. Great show today. I enjoyed it. And that's it. We'll do some starter sit tomorrow. For Dave, Jamie, and Heath, I'm Adam Azer. See you later.